I'd like to try and connect this message to everything that's gone before. You notice the two songs. One talks about the incarnation and the other one talks about the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. I'm glad those two were in because that's what I want to talk about. Incarnation is not a word that we bound about. We don't say, now, have you got a grasp of the incarnation or what does it mean? We've got a right to ask those questions. But you know, some things will always remain a mystery. And I think this side of eternity, we don't always fathom what God is doing, do we? Being honest. The incarnation reality, I'm giving it its full title. And I'm going to give a quote. The incarnational reality is the change of a higher power to come down and being incarnate in the lower life, which is us, and to include us into the kingdom of God. It describes the descent of God into his creation. C.S. Lewis. A man is my hero. A man of giant intellect and foresight into Christianity. I don't know whether you've ever read his books. In the 20th century, he was the most quoted writer for a long period. He was a don at Oxford. I've read a lot of his books, including The Four Planets, which he completely made up. God in the incarnation is the Christian belief that literally means to take on flesh. In the Latin, incarno means flesh. God took human form by becoming Jesus in the likeness of our flesh. It is an essential part in the Trinity, and we add that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in many ways, it forms the basis of our Christianity. Therefore, as we talk about the person of the Son, we see how important it always is to realise that God exists in three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We cannot, and we will not, separate the incarnation and make it on its own because three persons were involved in the creation of that. All three persons are connected in making of the incarnation, and all three persons are connected together. They work together. The Trinity always works together, especially in this process. In John 14:10, Jesus speaking, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. John 10:30 says this, the Father and I are one, co-equal. Every year at Christmas, people around the world remember the birth of Jesus Christ. However, what we celebrate at Christmas is not merely the birth of a baby, but the incarnation of the eternal Son of God taking on flesh. The incarnation revealing why it was necessary for the salvation of God's people, that Christ came in the flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew 1:23, cross-referencing a quote from Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That is, in Jesus, in the form of God. This is an outworking of the incarnation. If Christ is to fulfill his work as God's appointed representative, through the incarnation of Jesus, God was able to start repairing the damaged relationship with himself. This relationship has been imperfect since the beginning of time in Adam and Eve disobeying God. Through Jesus, God began the process of salvation from sin, making it possible for humans to have a full relationship with him and to go to heaven. Incarnate literally means to take on flesh, to be embodied. I think that's important that we somehow try and grasp that. Jesus, in a nutshell, Jesus became what we are that we may be like him. As our salvation and our eternal destiny depend on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 1, 26 to 38 tells us how that was done in the birth process, which we call the Nativity. Early Christians called it the virginal or immaculate conception, which was a Roman Catholic saying. John takes a more theological approach at the start of his gospel. Jesus is identified as the Word of God, Logos. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus pre-existed with God, John 1:1. Revelation 13:8, Jesus is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was decided in the councils of the Godhead beforehand. John states that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling with us, John 1:14. Christians are reminded of the various aspects of Jesus' nature. In Jesus, humans can see what God is like by becoming incarnate. God came closer to human understandings. Jesus acted as a messenger who was able to reconnect humanity to God's teaching and his ultimate goal. In Romans 8:29, we are to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Hebrews 10:5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." He's talking to his Father. Here I believe body has two aspects. In Jesus, we truly meet God face to face in full, undiminished glory. First, a human body through which Jesus would act out who God was and do the works of God on earth. And eventually, he became a living sacrifice, i.e. the crucifixion. The ultimate sacrifice, once and for all, cancelling all the sacrifices in the Jewish calendar. Secondly, the church, which is his spiritual body, in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Will incarnation be repeated? No and yes. It is a complete work physically for Christ, but this is where it is relevant to us. Spiritually, every time a person believes that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and he becomes their Saviour, a seed is implanted by the Holy Spirit. We are impregnated with that seed, just as it was for the Virgin Mary. In embryonic form, the seed began to grow and eventually into the likeness and image of Christ. Jesus, we truly meet God in the incarnation, face to face, not indwelling or overshadowing human flesh, but in full, undiminished glory. Here's a saying that's attributed to St. Patrick, the Irish saint, in the 5th century. Patrick said this: Christ is with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. This is the miracle of miracles. The incarnation is a reality. And rather than try to fully understand it all, we take it by faith. Amen.